One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome to the Insomnia Project. Sit back, relax, and listen as we have a calm conversation about the mundane. One thing we promise is that our conversation will be less than fascinating so that you can just drift off, that is, to sleep. You may hear the pitter-patter of rain or the crack of thunder. I just figured since it was raining, I was going to take advantage of this and include it as this podcast episode. I'm joined today by thunder, rain, lightning, and the delightful Amanda Barker.
Some call me lightning in a bottle.
And indeed they should. It is really starting to come down, Amanda. And I said to you, you were just cooking, and I said, hey, maybe we record with the rain in the background.
So I put the vegetables in the oven to roast, said they're going to take about a half an hour anyway, and cleared everything off, turned the water off to boil, and here we are.
Yes, so enjoy the sounds of the rain.
The gentle rain.
The gentle rain.
The game.
Yeah, we just got a game called Gentle Rain where it says, take a deep breath, relax, and enjoy your time at the lake. And in the rain is when the lotus flowers bloom, according to this game.
One of the things I love about lotus flowers is that they sit and float on top of the water. And what's interesting about them is that the murkier the water, usually the brighter the bloom. So you think about this lotus flower that sits peacefully on top of all this other funk underneath it.
Yeah.
And I think it's a nice symbol. It's certainly been used as a symbol for centuries in Buddhist thought, obviously, in meditation. And I think it just becomes a nice guide, a nice intention to sit peacefully on top of water, no matter how murky.
You're right. And Amanda, I know you well enough to know that you love to drift off with the sounds of the rain.
I love the rain. One thing I've learned about myself in the last 10 years, mm-hmm. I mean, I've always known it, but if it involves water, I'm better off for it. And somebody said to me once, if you don't know how to deal with your life, get near water.
Oh, that's a fascinating
thing. Get near water of any kind, whether it's being near the rain, if it happens to be there.
Sure.
Whether if it's getting into a tub and just surrounding yourself with water.
Yes.
In the bathtub, which I do on the regular. If you have access to a body of water, taking a walk by it, sitting and staring at it, be it a beach, a brook, a stream, a river of any kind, just getting yourself the closest you can to water, even having a drink of water,
sure,
can make your spirits lift and just make you feel replenished. So that is that's my go-to.
And there's the sound of rolling thunder.
Yeah, it's the simplest advice to just get yourself near water or be with water. Sometimes when I'm falling asleep, I imagine that I'm on a thin raft just floating on top of water without any, you know, only the stream or the current or the breeze guiding me.
Sure. How do you feel about the rolling thunder that we're hearing in the background right now, along with this pitter-patter of rain?
Well, thunder is so beautiful because it's the drama of water.
Oh, I never thought of it that way.
You know, water has many forms, and I think it's fair to say that lightning and thunder is beautiful water at its most dramatic.
Sure.
I mean, it's all within nature, and you think our earliest ancestors dealt with water. I was just thinking that as I was chopping up my summer squash.
We went for a walk just before it started to rain. We could feel it coming, and we were trying to take photos of the lightning that we saw behind us. And we're a bit up north. We're not actually in our studio, obviously, because you hear the sound of rain. But even that feel of the clouds coming mm-hmm. and darkening as we were walking closer and closer to, you know, where we're staying, and just that feeling of the air. There's a quality to the air, a thickness to the air when it's about to rain.
And energy.
Sure.
An energy to the air. And looking in the horizon on the water, as we just did mm-hmm. about a half an hour ago, saying everything is calm now, but you can see that drama is coming down the bend, and it's exciting.
Sure.
It's cleansing.
Yes.
You know, there is that cleansing feeling after a storm, which again is another symbol. You know, that after the storm feeling like
sure.
Mother Nature sort of got what she needed to. She needed to express herself.
Mm. And, you know, it's delightful for, you know, the vegetation that needs that water, that needs, especially in dry times, that needs the water, you know, the freshness of even the hot summer days being cooled off by summer rain.
I watered my geraniums this morning, and now I'm wishing I hadn't.
Okay.
That was useless, but I didn't know it was coming.
Did you use a watering can? Did you use a vessel? Because we have the green watering can.
Yeah,
outside.
No, I didn't use that. It was leftover water, but I'm trying to remember from what. Oh, I rinsed out the big pot I was going to boil some pasta in.
I see.
I rinsed it out. We were boiling corn.
Mm-hmm.
So I rinsed it out before I put the fresh water in. And so when I was rinsing it out, I thought instead of pouring it down the sink, I'll go water the flowers with it.
That's quite smart.
There was a little bug in it, so I thought that'll nourish my geranium.
Sure. You know, I just love seeing puddles and the reflection of the sky in puddles. That's something that's always amazed me.
Puddles always remind me of Peppa Pig. Am I allowed to talk about
Peppa? Of course you can.
Muddy puddles. If you don't know Peppa Pig, she's an animated character that you know, three-year-olds are big fans of. And splashing in muddy puddles is a big part of every episode, I think.
For sure. It's so funny. When my nephew was rather young, I think he was 3 years old at the mm-hmm. time, there was a water incident at my parents' place.
Mm-hmm.
One of the pipes broke or something, and yeah. so water was leaking into the basement.
Yeah.
And while my folks were dealing with
this crash of water through the ceiling.
Crash of water through the ceiling, my nephew put on his rain boots.
And he started quacking.
Yes.
And we were like, why is he quacking? Like, we didn't make the connection because it was such a dramatic moment. And here's this, you know, whatever he was, yep. two-year-old, just quacking and quacking. And only in hindsight is it so obvious. But at the moment, you're like, I don't know. He's quacking. I don't know what's going on over there.
He was just excited to jump in the puddles and quack like a duck.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So
what other things? Okay, so let me ask you this.
Okay.
It's raining.
That's not a question.
It's not a question, but it's the setup to my question.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of rain gear do you like to have if you're out in the rain?
I don't.
Oh, okay.
I find it all very sweaty.
So not like a rain smock?
I have a rain smock. Like a raincoat?
A raincoat.
A rain smock. I guess it is kind of a smock. I do have one. I keep it in the car. I don't love it. It's not lined or anything, so
okay.
It's only to be put over other jackets.
I see.
So if it's a cold rain, it's not very helpful. I don't love rain boots, and in all boots, there's always the question of, am I just going to wear these all day?
Right.
So if you're walking out of the house and it's storming, but it's supposed to clear up by 11, do you go out in other shoes? And then
that's the
you just get them wet?
Driving by in the
cars
rain.
Cars in the rain.
Yeah.
Do you go out in other shoes and get them wet? Or do you commit to those rain boots all day long and then perhaps you're sweating and wishing you hadn't worn, you know, encased your legs in rubber at 4 o'clock? Do you bring a pair of shoes to change into? That's a whole process.
Right,
so
of
I
course.
Don't know.
What about the classic umbrella?
What about it?
Do you like to have an umbrella in the rain? Would you prefer?
I like an umbrella in the rain. How about you?
Yeah, I never find I have a good umbrella in the rain. I always find I have those inexpensive ones that if the wind blows too hard, it will collapse itself.
Perhaps open. If you took care of your umbrellas, you would have a good umbrella. I like to have a good umbrella, and I like having one in my car and
right.
one by the door, but you don't honor them.
It's true. I've lost so many of
you're
Amanda's.
Just, and you're very flippant. You're like, oh, I left it. As though they were just a sandwich bag.
It's true.
So if you don't honor your umbrella, you're going to have the... You're doomed to a life of Mary Poppins style. Not Mary Poppins, but all the other nannies who got blown away.
What is your... What's important to you in an umbrella?
Color.
Oh, okay.
I like a colorful umbrella because... When you go into a shop or a restaurant or you're somewhere and everyone's putting their umbrellas by the door, you want one that stands out, that nobody can say, oh, I thought this bright polka dot thing or this blue with yellow flowers is another one I have, or I have a stripy one. I thought that was mine. You want one that nobody thought was yours.
Right. So they don't make off with your umbrella.
Yeah. I prefer a smaller, compact one that can fit in its little case and be thrown into a bag or purse, personally.
Oh, I see. I prefer a big one.
Yeah.
The bigger the umbrella, the happier I am.
Well, I mean, the better the job it does, but then the more you have to lug around in your day, so.
What about those see-through ones that kind of like dome down, almost like an upside down tulip?
Those are not the good ones. Those are the ones you buy for $3 when you get caught in the rain.
No, like the ones that look make you look like a mushroom and you can see through them.
Those are the ones you buy for $3 when you get caught in the rain.
No, I've seen those.
Well,
used.
I challenge you then.
Okay,
go buy an umbrella.
I'm not an umbrella expert, clearly, because I leave them behind.
How do you say umbrella in Italian?
Ombrello.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Not parapluie?
No, that's French.
Yeah, I know.
Or paraguas is Spanish. Paraguas is for rain, and parasol is for sun, is an umbrella for sun.
Yeah. Parasol.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm.
Yeah.
Have you ever had an umbrella for sun?
No. Oh, actually, you know, on the beach, those
big ones.
Those big ones, I guess that's for sun, right?
Yeah, very popular when I lived in Korea for people to have umbrellas in the sun. When you're shooting a series or a film, they will very often give you an umbrella if you're standing in the sun, not just for your comfort, but also because they don't want to deal with touching up your makeup or with you getting a burn or, you know, tan lines or anything like that.
Side note, too, when you're filming something, whether it be a commercial or a television series or a film, they'll often give you something called a rain date,
which
That's means true. If it rains on this date, you have an alternative date to film.
Yeah, if you're filming outside.
Right.
Like I filmed, it's the last thing I had a rain date for. I was being a mother on a porch. So we had a rain date for that because, although to be honest, we were quite covered. So I think it would have had to have been storming pretty hard to move the shoot, but at the time maybe they didn't have the location secured.
Sure.
So. Mm-hmm.
But that's just a little insight to some of our world.
So exciting. Umbrellas on set.
Our world with rain and rain accoutrements. It's sort of slowed down the rain now. You've heard it kind of...
But speaking of shooting series, films, and rain, most people know this, but it's incredibly hard to shoot and capture rain. So a lot of times people are shooting in the rain and you just don't know it's raining.
Right.
It more looks like a gray day or they look a little damp, but you don't realize it's actually raining because the rain doesn't get picked up by the camera. Or if you want it to look like rain, like one of those big, there's so many sounds.
Yeah, there's so
but
many.
But we're inviting them in today.
Yeah.
If it's one of those What is that? It's a truck?
I think it's a truck backing up. I don't know why they're backing up right here, but they decided to.
One of those, like, dramatic last scene, and they're embracing in the rain or something like that. That is incredibly hard to do, and usually you've got machines making that happen, and those people are not just wet. They are soaked. They're being blasted by the rain.
Just like, what about, was it Singing in the Rain? There's a famous thing about them being just, like, drenched for days and days.
I never saw it, so I don't actually know.
Wasn't there a dance film that happens in the rain?
Well, Singing in the Rain is a dance film.
No, I know, but I feel like there was one.
I don't know.
I'm trying to think if I ever shot anything that required rain.
Like a rain scene?
Yeah, that required
it's incredibly expensive to make happen, so usually you're with something that has a very large budget.
They CGI'd rain for a commercial I did years ago. CGI is like a computer-generated sequence.
Yeah, they do that with snow a lot.
Snow, I find, is... I can spot bad snow in
CGI
film.
CGI snow is... I have a particular issue with snow that doesn't go down because we live in a snowy climate. And snow, yes, it's light and sometimes goes sideways, but generally speaking, it's like rain. It goes down.
Right.
But often, in certain movies... Game of Thrones was really bad for this. They would CGI snow and it would just sort of be this weird, almost like you had a fire burning and little embers were kind of floating all over the place. It's one of my big pet peeves.
Speaking of which, I have a fire that I was tending to today that's just embers now. Mm-hmm. And the rain's going to take care of that. So that makes me happy. For me, when we see snow on film, when they use flakes, so oftentimes they'll use potato flakes or simulated snow, which is flakes of something, sometimes detergent. What I notice immediately is that the snow will fall and it won't melt.
Yeah.
So it'll land on a person's head or whatever, and they'll just have these big fluffy flakes. And it's like, no, it would have melted by now. And so that's something that always...
I did a stage show that always ended with snowfall.
Right.
It's actually easier to do that on stage than you would think. But what we would do is we get somebody off stage.
Ooh, that's a very loud truck. That's a truck that's actually delivering recycle bins to this area. They delivered a whole bunch of recycling bins.
They're big, gorgeous recycling bins. They're very shiny. Everyone has a brand new, shiny new, I think they're black recycling bins.
Black with a blue top for recycle, green top for organic, and a black top for just regular refuse or trash.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Fascinating. Mm. We're talking about snow. So, yeah, we actually ended with a Love Actually joke.
Ending,
And so we would have a snow machine, and it would just be, all you'd see on stage is just sort of snow kind of coming out. But what they would do is stagehand on the side, and where I was standing, it was almost always a guy. And I could see him holding it, and he was just holding a little machine, like, in the palm of his hand, spitting out.
Small?
It was quite small.
Oh, I didn't realize
that.
But
maybe about a foot big. Like, it wasn't that small, but two hands. But almost like an old camcorder.
Okay.
That's sort of what it would look like. Yeah. And just holding it, and it would blast on the person right in front of it, and he would get, more often than not, it was suds. So soap suds on stage, that's usually what it is because that's the easiest cleanup. You don't have any particles to clean up. It just
melts away.
It just bubbles off. But so we would have like soap suds in our eyelashes and stuff like that.
I'm trying to think of other places we've been to that have rained. And I remember driving in Hawaii on the Big Island with you. Mm-hmm. And we were going sort of through the center of the island where you end up seeing many different microclimates.
Yeah.
And we would go from bright sun to almost desert conditions and then a bit of rain and then like real strong, almost rainforest type rain. Or that's what it felt like. It was so pervasive around us.
Yeah.
And then it would lighten up once again. And
yeah.
I'm just trying to think of travels where we encountered rain. Remember in Florida?
I mean, for me, Korea would have monsoons. And we would... they're beautiful. And... but powerful. And so we would stay inside and just let it... I kind of loved the coziness of it because it was once they kind of came, it's just a big rainstorm. But once they came, you'd just stay inside and wait kind of thing.
And there is something cozy about being inside where it's warm and seeing the rain outside your window. Reminds me of that song.
Mm-hmm. I remember one time in Korea, we were in a restaurant and we ended up staying in that restaurant.
That's a truck.
Oh my goodness.
That's a truck towing
a Camaro.
Yeah. Which it's so funny because it's so not busy where we are. It is so the most calm and very infrequently trafficked area.
Yep.
But
we turn the mic on and then they come moths to the light.
Yes.
Anyway, I remember being in this one restaurant and we just had to stay in there. So we just kept ordering drinks and kept ordering food because we had no choice. We were there for the night.
I'll never forget this. So we were in Florida and a good friend of ours, Michelle Miracle, who's been a guest on the show, and I got caught in the rain, like just a flash.
There's pictures of that. You guys were so soaked.
Flash rainstorm that happened. Where were we? Orlando? It was Florida.
No, we were in Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale. And it just poured. And it was sunny. It was sunny.
Yeah.
We were walking. We weren't We were going to a mall.
Mm-hmm.
So we were kind of walking across the parking lot of a mall. And the rain came down. And the drops were the size of the microphone we have in front of us. And Michelle and I just got soaked. And we have these... I think when I think of Michelle Miracle, I think of these photos of me and her just drenched
soaked.
In a mall. Yeah.
That was also the day that you bought purple shorts, I'm pretty sure.
Probably.
And I hated them. And you decided, since I hated them, that you would wear them every night for a very long time. And you did. You wore them for the next like 6 or 7 years every single night.
They were like basketball shorts, so they had a shimmer and a shine, and they were purple.
They were so ugly.
And they were great, and I got them for like in the discount
bin. $2
maybe. And they were these very comfortable basketball shorts that I ended up wearing as evening pants.
They were pajamas. Yeah. You wore them every night.
Yeah.
Until you finally one day thought the joke was done, and off they went.
And off they went.
To a better place.
Yeah.
I don't know if they went to a better place, but... They were gone from us. Mm. That's a whole other episode talking about textiles and recycling textiles and all of that.
We were just, as we come to the end of our podcast, I wanted to talk about this lazy river ride.
Speaking of water
that we did. I saw on the internet, it was like things you can do that are an hour away from the city. And one of them was a lazy river ride. Or lazy river. I don't think it's called a ride. It's a lazy river.
No, it's not a ride.
No, it's a lazy river.
Experience.
And so I asked Amanda, I said, do you want to go on a lazy river experience? And as she said at the start of the show that she loves to be around water. And she was totally game for it. And Matt Campagna and Melissa D'Agostino, who are also friends of the show and have appeared on episodes, joined us on this wonderful lazy river.
It was so incredible. There wasn't much instruction. We parked in one place. They drove us to a point.
It's a town called Kitchener, which is about an hour and a half away from where we live in Toronto.
And if you live in this area, everyone refers to it as Kitchener-Waterloo because it's two cities next to each other that are invariably linked. They're their own cities.
Right.
But they're also very linked. So anyway, it was Kitchener. And, we parked in a parking lot.
At a water park.
Yeah. And then they drove us. We got into a van and they drove us to, I guess, the beginning. I guess that was the sort of end of the river.
Right.
So they drove us to the beginning of the river and it was probably like 15-minute drive.
It's the Grand River. And when you say the beginning of the river, it's not actually the beginning of the river,
right.
But it's the beginning of the 2-hour lazy river ride. And the river happened to be very... I don't know if this is a word, but chicane-y, like it had a lot of chicanes in it. So you could really just sit in this raft and let the water take you. And I thought they would be inner tubes. So I was like, we're probably going to be on inner tubes. But they were like these wonderful rafts where you could stretch your legs.
They were true lazy rafts. They had a drink holder. You could just lay out on them with a little, like a bed. Almost, like a raised bed.
It had a back support,
yeah.
And they gave you paddles. And the river...
A paddle.
It had a paddle on both ends, so it was one oar.
Like a kayak paddle,
exactly. And we got in the river, and our guide, Jacob, pushed us in the water. And it wasn't deep, Amanda. It was like 5 inches deep where we were.
Some places was really not deep. Like
we would get caught on
like
rocks.
Like being in a bathtub.
Yeah, you would have to sort of push your bum so you could get off the rock.
Yeah, because in this raft, your bum was sort of hitting the rock, so you had to like lift it up a bit.
Yeah.
And then other places, it was deeper, and that was ideal because then it was a very easy current that would drift you along.
True, and we saw blue heron.
Oh, it's a beautiful bird. It actually ended our... We were out there... It took us about 2.5 hours.
Yeah, it was wonderful. I saw kingfisher.
Yeah.
Melissa and I saw kingfishers. Did you see kingfishers?
I think that's what we were seeing. Yeah, right. We all saw them, but I didn't know what they were. But the blue heron, I called it because it was this gorgeous heron, this sort of crane bird, but this color that was like a blue-gray, a gray that had blue tinges. And I'd never seen... It was so gorgeous and so majestic. And I'd never seen a heron look like that. Like, my parents live in Florida, so I'm used to white herons or, you know, pink flamingos, pink spoon-billed heron, you know, spoon-billed crane, I think they're called. But
when are you seeing flamingos at your parents' place? I never see flamingos.
Well, in Florida, we see flamingos. That day with the rain, we saw flamingos.
What day with the rain?
That you referenced in this podcast where you got caught with Michelle Miracle.
We saw flamingos that day?
Yeah, if you're driving through Orlando, you can see flamingos all over the place.
Okay, well, yeah. I'm always looking out for gators. That's my thing.
Yeah, I don't think you care as much about flamingos.
No. Well, I like
Although
flamingos.
Now you're in a bird phase, so maybe.
I do like the kingfisher, and you kind of dismiss the kingfisher.
I'm not dismissing it at all. I love the kingfisher.
It's also known as?
The halcyon. And when they say the halcyon days or my halcyon days... Shakespeare, I believe, used that term, and you hear it sometimes. That means, you know, things are just about to wane, I believe, because the halcyon or the kingfisher does come in those golden last drops of summer before it turns to fall. So, you know, those days where the humidity might lift a bit, but it's still beautiful and glorious when the sun is out and... What?
No, I was going to say we're in our halcyon...
We are in the halcyon days right now, yeah. It also usually references a type of sort of sweetness or nostalgia, like my halcyon days kind of thing. I hope I'm not misquoting it, but the reason that I love it so much is there's a beautiful play, one of my favorite plays ever written, by a Canadian playwright, Susan Coyne, called Kingfisher Days. And it's about her adventures when she was young, but particularly her relationship with a beautiful old neighbor who would leave her little notes pretending to be various fairy queens.
I see.
He had a wild imagination, and she was a young girl, so she did too. So she would get these fairy notes and be just so excited to receive them. So it's just a beautiful story.
What's the name of that play again?
Kingfisher Days.
Well, we hope you enjoy your halcyon days.
Mm-hmm.
We hope you enjoy the rain that might fall on you as we've enjoyed this little splashing of rain as it's now pittering out. I will take a little Instagram video of this rain for you to see. And we hope you enjoyed this episode of The Insomnia Project. If you haven't already, please leave us a 5-star review. We love those. And I'll be doing some reviews, or I'll do some videos of me reading some of the wonderful reviews we just got recently, Amanda.
Wonderful.
Until then, enjoy the rain, enjoy the podcast, enjoy whatever you're doing, and we hope you were able to listen and sleep.